Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday 19th of July. I'm Louise.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Beth.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. And now Brian will start us off with the news.
Nearly £1 million has been made in fines from a bus lane in West Bromwich town centre in just 6 months. Around 50,000 fines have been issued to drivers who've ignored warnings not to use the bus zone in New Street. Thousands of motorists have continued to flout the rules by cutting through the pedestrianised zone despite signage and warnings from council buses. The cameras were switched on in December, and in just 6 months to the end of June, a total of 48,755 fines were handed out, bringing in a huge £944,832 into Sandwell's council coffers. Drivers who cut through the bus lane outside New Square Shopping Centre and Sandwell College's Sixth Form Centre face fines of up to £90. Only buses, hackney carriages, taxis and cyclists are allowed to pass through. Initial fines are £60, but if paid within 14 days, the total is reduced to £30. The bus zone runs in the section of New Street outside Central Sixth in the town centre. After the 14-day period, the charge will stay at £60, and if it has still not been paid within 28 days, it'll rise to £90. Council chiefs decided to act after tens of thousands of drivers routinely ignored restrictions by driving through the bus zone, which was said to be holding up buses in the town centre. Despite the high number of fines, the council's highway boss, Councillor David Hosel, insisted indiscretions were gradually beginning to fall. The bus route aimed to stop cars driving along the bricked paved part of New Street. Councillor Hosel, Cabinet Member for Highways and Environment, said the amount of fines following the introduction of the new regulations reflects the very high incidence of misuse of the bus lane in those early days. I'm now very pleased that there is a marked reduction in the amount of penalty notices being issued in the area. The action against drivers has led to a big reduction in the amount of vehicles in this busy area, which is making this area much safer for pedestrians than was the case before the camera was installed. Chiefs were hopeful that the threat of a fine would have a similar impact as it has in other areas such as Wolverhampton, where bus lane cameras around the city centre have proved successful in stopping drivers using the lanes. The cameras in West Bromwich went live following a 2-week grace period to allow drivers to get used to the new rules.
Two men on a moped carried out 5 acid attacks during a spree across London, which lasted less than 90 minutes. The Metropolitan Police said one victim had been left with life-changing injuries after being doused on Thursday night in the east of the capital. The assaults appeared to be linked, and 2 involved victims having their mopeds stolen. A male teenager was later said to have been arrested on suspicion of grievous bodily harm and robbery and has been taken to an East London police station. At the start of the rampage, a 32-year-old moped driver had been approached by the pair as he drove towards the Hackney Road junction with Queensbridge Road. The 2 male suspects had tossed the noxious substance into his face before one of them jumped onto his vehicle and drove away. Police said the man had gone to an East London hospital and they were awaiting an update on his injuries. Little more than 20 minutes later, at around 10:50 p.m, another victim had been sprayed with searing liquid by the pair on the Upper Street junction with Highbury Corner in Islington. The victim was taken to hospital in North London. And then at around 11:05 p.m, the fast-moving attacker swooped on a man in Shoreditch High Street, tossing the substance in his face. His injuries were not life-threatening. Within 15 minutes, they appear to have struck again, launching their corrosive load at a man on Cazenove Road and causing life-changing facial injuries. The final assault of the night was reported to police at 11:37 p.m, when another man was confronted as he sat on his moped in traffic on Chatsworth Road. After again spraying the liquid in a victim's face, the moped was stolen and both attackers fled. The string of assaults comes just days after a man appeared in court accused of throwing acid at an aspiring model and her cousin. A mass acid attack has also previously hit the capital this year. On Easter Monday, acid was sprayed at a crowded East London club night, leaving 2 revellers partially blinded and others disfigured. Arthur Collins, the former boyfriend of reality TV star Fern McCann, was charged in connection with the attack.
A hospital caring and treating people for psychological problems, including dementia, has been earmarked for closure. Birchdale Hospital, based in the grounds of Russell Hall Hospital in Dudley, will close under plans which have gone out for consultation. Dudley Clinical Commissioning Group, the CCG, bosses want the care to be carried out in the community rather than the hospital setting. It comes as the group is also conducting a review into services which are no longer value for taxpayers' money, with it needing to save £14 million this financial year. A spokesperson from Dudley and Walsall Mental Health Partnership, NHS Trust, said, "We are, together with our local health partner, Dudley Clinical Commissioning Group, looking at ways we can improve the services we offer to patients and bring care closer to home. The proposal to close Birchdale Hospital outlines alternative options for how we deliver our services, including the introduction of an older adult mental health home treatment service. This will bring care closer to home and potentially mean assessment, support and treatment for mental health patients 7 days a week and up to 3 times a day visits when required." The proposal has attracted opposition. One person, who did not want to be named, said, "The closure of this centre will leave elderly, mentally ill patients vulnerable." A public meeting and drop-in session was held at the Dell Stadium in Bryce Road, Pensnet, on the issue on July the 11th at 3:30 p.m.
A schoolgirl from the Black Country will have her Christmas stamp design circulated this year after winning a national competition. 10-year-old Arwen Wilson from Dudley is one of 2 winners in a national Christmas stamp design competition, with her effort picked out by Prince Charles and given the go-ahead by the Queen. St Chad's Catholic primary pupil Arwen's design, Snow Family, will feature on the second-class Christmas stamp. The first-class stamp will use a design by Ted Luz Clark from Somerset, who was the other competition winner. Both Arwen and Ted will be presented with a framed set of their winning stamp designs later in the year by Prince Charles. A special postmark will also feature on mail delivered to addresses nationwide. Each child will have their name on the postmark for a week in November with the message, "Ted Lewis Clark, / Arwen Wilson, winner of Royal Mail's Christmas Stamp Design Competition." Arwen's postmarks will feature on mail delivered from November the 14th. Jeff Braden from Royal Mail, one of the West Midlands regional judges, said of Arwen's design, "I particularly like the Christmas pudding and the mischievous snowman with the snowballs." Royal Mail Chief Executive Officer Moya Green said, "We received a phenomenal response to our Christmas stamp design competition this year, with over 200,000 entries from children across the UK. His Royal Highness the Prince of Wales has selected the 2 overall winners, and we congratulate Ted and Arwen, whose designs will be featured on millions of stamps this Christmas. I hope all the children who entered the competition continue being creative and artistic." It's only the 4th time in the company's history that children have designed Christmas stamps. As with all special stamps issued by Royal Mail, both winning designs were approved by the Queen. The winners have both won £1,000 in vouchers and £1,000 for their schools. Other Christmas stamps for different postal rates and a religious-themed issue will also be available from the 7th of November. The stamps are available online at Royal Mail, that's all one word, royalmail.com/Christmas2017, and Christmas is spelt without a capital C, or by phone on 03457 641 641 and in 7,000 post offices across the UK.
A self-confessed IRA bomber has said he accepts collective responsibility for the Birmingham pub bombings. Michael Christopher Hayes, 69, said he was in Birmingham on the night of the 1974 attacks, but declined to comment on whether he was directly involved. In an interview with the BBC, Mr. Hayes also reiterated an apology he made to the families of the 21 victims in a newspaper interview last year. He also repeated the claim that he defused a third bomb that had been planted in the city once he had heard the carnage the first 2 explosions had caused. He also stood by his refusal not to give evidence to the forthcoming inquest into the Birmingham bombings. Mr. Hayes, who was named as a suspect in the Birmingham attacks in a TV documentary in 1990, repeatedly refused to comment when asked if he had any direct involvement in the attacks. The former IRA man, he lives in South Dublin, said two men planted the bombs, but he refused to name them or say if he was one of them. No comment, he said when asked. Mr. Hayes said, I was a participant in the IRA's activities in Birmingham. He added, I take full collective responsibility for all operations carried out in the West Midlands. I take collective responsibility for every IRA operation carried out in England, let alone Birmingham. On the night of November the 21st, 1974, the IRA planted two bombs which ripped through the tavern in the town and nearby Morby Bush pubs, killing 21 and injuring 182 others. The botched police investigation into the attacks led to the wrongful convictions of the Birmingham Six, one of the most infamous miscarriages of justice in British legal history. No one else has been convicted of the attacks. Asked what his message to the victims was, Mr. Hayes said, My apologies and my heartfelt sympathy to all of you for a terrible, tragic loss that you have been put through. And for all these years, they have been trying to find closure. I hope at last God will be merciful and bring you closure. And I apologise not only for myself, but I apologise for all active Republicans who had no intention of hurting anybody and sympathise with you. Julie Hambleton, whose sister Maxine was killed, dismissed the apology.
A top preschool in Stourbridge has been described as inspirational by Ofsted inspectors who have rated it outstanding. St Michael's Christian Preschool in Norton has received a glowing report from the Education Watchdog after inspectors visited the site in Maynard Avenue. In a summary of key findings, Inspector Julia Galloway said, Leadership is inspirational and staff meticulously plan for all areas of learning. And it says, Children benefit from a vibrant and stimulating environment. Preschool manager Sally Collins said Margot James MP for Stourbridge recently visited and congratulated the preschool on its outstanding Ofsted report for the inspection in June 2017. Margot James visited the setting, which is facilitated by St Michael's Church, to meet staff and volunteers to discuss the sustainability of such preschools and issues about future funding for early years provision. During the visit, some children had a photograph with Margot taken in the outdoor area and all the children sang a farewell song. The visit was much appreciated by all those who spoke to Margot James, who was impressed with the facilities. The preschool, which takes children aged 2 to 4, has 36 youngsters on its roll and it employs 9 members of childcare staff. Its latest rating is an improvement on its last inspection on 2015, when it was rated good. Other areas praised included behaviour of children, which was described as exceptional, and it said staff develop close bonds with children and they are highly tuned into the emotional well-being of each child. The report added, healthy foods and physical activities are part of the daily routine and children enjoy exploring the exciting garden.
Speedway bosses behind plans to build a new track for Cradley Heathens have assured residents living nearby noise would be kept to a minimum. The Supporters Trust, which has drawn up the plans for the track, which could be built at the Lion Farm Estate in Oldbury off the Wolverhampton Road, have vowed to work with residents. The Trust has moved to ease any fears the proposed track could impact on the lives of people living in the area. Sandwell Council leader Steve Ealing said he believed the potential arrival of a speedway track could cause concerns among residents. The Heathens are hoping to move to the Oldbury site to end their 22-year search for a permanent home. And Mark Robinson from the club's Supporters Trust said experts were focused on making the arena as neighbour-friendly as possible. Our designs are for the speedway track to be a big bowl with an acoustic fence. We are talking to acoustic professionals to make sure it is right, he said. We have just put in the planning application. There is a lot of work ahead of us, a lot of talking with the council and people from the Lion Farm area. Hopefully we can convince them this is a good project for the area. Cradley Heathens have been without a permanent home since 1995, when their Dudley Wood track was sold for housing. The club has been track sharing with rivals Wolverhampton and Birmingham since reforming in 2010. Attempts to find a site close to their Cradley roots in the Dudley Borough have failed to come to fruition, which Mr Robinson admitted was frustrating. But he added the club was now focusing on the chosen site in Oldbury. The proposals for the Queensfield site in Oldbury include a number of other sporting facilities, including cricket and rugby pitches, a BMX track and basketball courts. Mr Robinson said, "It's a very exciting time. A lot of people at the Trust have been working hard behind the scenes. We are looking, if we can, to produce some homegrown talent and to get to the top league again."
A lorry driver has been convicted for overtaking a cyclist dangerously as part of a police campaign. The 60-year-old trucker was caught on camera passing too close to the cyclist on Park Lane West, Tipton. He has been made to pay more than £1,000 and given 5 points on his licence after being found guilty of driving without due care and attention. The driver, from Birmingham, was punished after his actions last November were caught on the helmet camera of the cyclist, a 56-year-old man from Wednesbury. He denied the offence but was convicted at Birmingham Magistrates Court. He was made to pay £1,038 in fines and costs. PC Mark Hodgson from the Central Motorway Police Group, the CMPG, said, "This was a clear case of close pass. The cyclist was nearly forced into the kerb and the actions of the truck driver could easily have caused a very serious collision. A few seconds delay to ensure a safe overtake is nothing compared to the consequences of a poorly planned and executed overtake can be." The 56-year-old cyclist said he started using cycle cameras after being knocked off his bike by a hit-and-run driver in 2015. He added, "I was seriously hurt and it took 6 weeks to recover. And what made matters worse for me was that we couldn't trace the driver. It helps me greatly to cycle on the roads, knowing that, should anyone endanger me, West Midlands Police will act upon it. It gives cyclists the confidence and reassurance that such dangerous driving will not be tolerated." Oh, wait. The lorry driver was prosecuted as part of a West Midlands Police campaign aimed at prosecuting cyclists. Almost 200 people have been pulled over during police close-pass operations. Most have been let off with a warning. However, 13 drivers went on to be prosecuted and two had licences revoked at the roadside for failing eyesight tests. West Midlands Police has seen reports of close passes halve since the scheme was introduced.
Let's be sensible over school holiday fines. That is the message of Dudley's Children's Services boss, as penalties are set to begin again from September. Councillor Anne Millward said there should be a rethink over the policy of fining parents who take pupils out of school for holidays during term time. Councillor Millward, who is also a school governor, said there needed to be a sensible solution to stop parents being punished every time. Dudley Council will reinstate the fining system from the start of the next school year after it was halted following a high-profile legal challenge from a father on the Isle of Wight. The authority said the move was overwhelmingly supported by head teachers. It means parents who take their children out of school during term time will be fined £60. If that is not paid within 21 days, it will rise to £120. But the move has proven unpopular, with many parents feeling it is unfair to be hit in the pocket for taking their child out of school. Councillor Millward, Cabinet Member for Children's Services at Dudley Council, said she sympathised with parents who only wanted to take their children out for a few days, and that in some cases, common sense should prevail. She believes it should be for head teachers to decide each case on its merits. "Keeping children in school is absolutely paramount for their education, but I also recognise, as a governor of a school where there are high levels of deprivation, there are parents who take their children on small holidays where they collect vouchers," she said. "These are out of season and sometimes are the only holiday these children get. I'm not in favour of taking them out for 2 weeks every year, but I do think it needs to be handled sensitively." The policy of fining parents was suspended last year when Father John Platt fought a legal battle in an attempt to have his penalty overturned. However, after the Supreme Court ruled in the council's favour, fines are now set to start up again. Dudley Council's Cabinet is set to approve the reintroduction of fines next week.
A mother of five has been jailed after starting a pub brawl that ended with a man being knocked out. Marie Wood suddenly started throwing punches at fellow customer Andrew O'Donnell in Yates on Leicester Street, Walsall, for reasons that were not immediately apparent, a judge had. Mr. Howard Seal, prosecuting, told Wolverhampton Crown Court, he was on the receiving end of aggressive behaviour from her. He may have found her attractive, but, for whatever reason, she started punching him. Wood, who had been drinking heavily after parting from a partner, was ejected by security staff, but the trouble continued outside on August the 8th last year. She tried to get back into the premises on several occasions, but was pulled back by 20-year-old Mitchell Leonard, whom she knew. Then she got into a fight with another woman who had just left the bar. Both were thrown to the ground in the struggle, during which she kicked her rival in the ribs. The pair had to be literally pulled apart as they clung to each other on the ground. Mr. O'Donnell also became involved in the melee before being felt with a punch from another of Wood's party, 30-year-old father of two, Ben Edwards. The victim was then punched while lying unconscious on the ground by Leonard, concluded the prosecutor. Mr. O'Donnell was badly bruised and needed 8 stitches in his lip. Wood, from Pelsall Lane, Walsall, who had a previous conviction for excess alcohol, recalled little of what happened because she was drunk. Mr. David Swinnerton, defending, said, she had been on a bender following the breakup of a relationship and is disgusted at her shameful behaviour. Recorder Jason McAdam said, this was disgraceful. This was a disgraceful but sadly all too common incident. He told the defendants, who all admitted a fray. Wood started it and it kept going with violence both inside and outside the pub. Edwards, who also pleaded guilty to causing grievous bodily harm, was jailed for 1 year, 8 months, while Wood, who pleaded guilty to 2 affrays, represented her behaviour both inside and outside Yates's, was locked up for 8 months. Leonard received 4 months detention, suspended for 18 months, with 180 hours unpaid work.
A cemetery has become a no-go area for families after becoming overgrown due to lack of maintenance, it's been claimed. Councillors have slammed the state of St Peter's Church in Upper Gornal, saying it is disrespectful after receiving complaints from residents. It comes as Dudley Council announced earlier this month that a total of 20 closed churchyards in the borough, many of which are home to military graves, are now cut just twice a year instead of 7 times. It will save the cash-strapped council around £15,000 a year. Councillor Adam Aston, who represents the Upper Gornal and Wood Seton ward, spoke of his concern. He said, I've been contacted by local people unable to tend to the graves of their loved ones as the grass is so high. Whilst I appreciate budget savings need to be found, I really feel it is disrespectful to allow churchyards to deteriorate in this way. Responsibility for grass cutting at the historic churchyard at St Peter's Church off Kent Street sits with Dudley Council, but budget cuts at the authority have led to a dramatic decrease in work carried out. Fellow ward councillor Kieran Casey added, we'd like to see churchyards and cemeteries exempted from any further reduction in grass cutting so that people are able to visit the graves of their loved ones safely. Closed churchyards that are maintained by the council also include St Andrew's in Netherton, St Michael's in Briarley Hill, Sedgley Old Cemetery, St John's in Cates Hill, Dudley and Christchurch in Lye. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said, the council is responsible for maintaining 20 closed Church of England churchyards, many of which came to the council's care decades ago. When the council adopts closed churchyards, it does so without any extra funding for maintenance, and we've continued to provide maintenance over many years despite reduced budgets. Last year, Dudley Council approved a budget cut to reduce the strimming regime on closed churchyards from 7 cuts a year to 2 as we look to make the authority as efficient as possible. We are continuing to liaise with the Church of England Diocese and, where in place, work with local community groups to support maintenance works. Any residents wanting to set up their own community group or arrange a one-off community event should get in touch via Dudley Council Plus to find out what support we can offer.
And with that final news item from Brian, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Louise.
Goodbye from Brian.
And goodbye from Beth.